grace, and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The church, capital C, has had various schisms over time. Most of those schisms tend to disappear. We call those heresies. Like the Arian heresy, which was the cause of the Council of Nicaea and that Nicene Creed that we just confessed. The Church of the East, that's the Assyrian Orthodox, which our wars in the Middle East have done great damage to, and the Oriental Orthodox, it's largely the Coptic Church in Egypt, both accept that Nicene Creed. But the schism is usually traced to 451 AD and the Council of Chalcedon. The second part of the Athanasian Creed about the two natures of Christ, one altogether, not by confusion of the substance, but by unity of the person, is what they would have beef with. Then 1054 is usually given as the date of the Great Schism. That was a split between the Eastern Church and the Old Western Church. The cause of that schism is largely the primacy of the Patriarchy of Rome. The Eastern Church has had its fights, and right now there's a fight between the Russian Patriarch and the Patriarch of Constantinople, but so far it's avoided further schism. The Old Western Church, though, hit the Reformation. It had been bumping up into multiple points, the Lollards or Jan Hus and the Bohemian Brothers. They each had a laundry list of offenses. But it was Martin Luther who got to the core. And that old Western church would split in multiple directions that we live with today. And I know that it annoys Roman Catholics, but this is the historical truth. It was the Lutherans in 1530 at Augsburg, June 25th, the exact date, which first defined what they confessed in the Augsburg Confession. It's a little longer than the Nicene Creed, although it's not terribly long. But it serves the same purpose as that creed. This is the rule of faith that we believe, teach, and confess. The Roman Catholic would not define theirs until the Council of Trent, which ended in 1563. And now it isn't as easy as just spitting dates like I have. History never is. But each of the churches, small c, that come out of the Reformation, all claim that Nicene Creed, along with all of those others that schismed at various times. But each of them also have some longer creed or confession. And I start with that not because I want to bore you completely, but because I want to quote one of the articles from the Augsburg Confession. Article 4 is typically labeled the big one on justification. That's the one that it's often said the church stands or falls on. That's the one that Paul has been talking about in Galatians these past few weeks. They teach that men cannot be justified before God by their own strength, merits, or works, but are freely justified for Christ's sake through faith. Faith alone. But the question immediately comes up, how do we obtain this faith? And that's what Article 5 answers. That we may obtain this faith. The ministry of teaching of the gospel and administering the sacraments was instituted. For through the word and the sacraments, as through instruments, the Holy Ghost is given, who works faith where and when it pleases God in those who hear the gospel. They also condemn the Anabaptists and others who think that the Holy Ghost comes to men without the external word, through their own preparations and works. Now, so far, this is so much Paul from Romans 10. How will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him who they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? How are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach good news. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. We obtain faith from outside of us. None of us have this saving faith by our own efforts. Someone told us about Christ. The Holy Spirit worked through those words of that person to kindle faith. And that faith has justified you and given you peace with the Father. But there are usually two complaints at this point. Well, there's a whole bunch of them, but there's a couple that are worth mentioning today. The first complaint is usually, well, that's a lot of Paul. What does Jesus say? And in one sense, you can't set Jesus against Paul. They agree, flat out saying they do. And if you're setting Jesus against Paul, what you're doing is questioning Paul's apostleship, his being sent, which he kind of addresses at the end of that Galatians letter. Don't question me anymore, he kind of says. But if you're questioning Paul's apostleship, you're creating another schism, where neither Peter nor James found one. And you might as well throw away the entire New Testament. There are heresies that have done that. But our gospel lesson today forms the basis of a more substantive answer of what does Jesus say. The Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And this is how Jesus described their mission. Know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. The first message that Jesus proclaims himself is repent. The kingdom of heaven is near. And he's given that message to these 72 who have been set apart. The one who hears you hears me. And the one who rejects you rejects me. And the one who rejects me rejects the one who sent me. That word comes from outside of us. It comes from the Father through the Son by the means of the Holy Spirit. And those who are called are the means of that Spirit, that we may obtain this faith, the ministry of teaching the gospel and administering the sacraments was instituted. Now, the second complaint is usually something quoting the priesthood of all believers. Fine. I can accept that faith comes by hearing, but that Spirit can come on anyone, anywhere. Ministers, priests, pastors, and the like are either just performing a function that anyone can, or they might even be usurping the role of Christ himself in some personal power play. Now, there's a simple answer. Yes. The Spirit will most certainly use the priesthood of all believers. Probably starting with Dad and Mom, who were the first to preach to most of us. There's nothing ultimately denied to that priesthood of believers. You yourselves can be the means of the Spirit to proclaim Christ. And you'll know. Don't worry what you will say in that moment. The Spirit will be there. But the entire history of the people of God has had those set apart for this public task. Whether it was the judges, the Aaronic priesthood, the Levites and the prophets, right down to the apostles and these 72, the Lord appointed them. Jesus says to pray to the Lord of harvest to send out more. And they are sent out in the person of Christ. Now, that may sound like a power play, and I won't deny that it can turn into that. There are plenty of ministerial tyrants. But the reality of the call is what Jesus says. Proclaim to the house, peace be with you. That peace is the forgiveness of sins, which we practice every day or every time we gather. Your sins have been forgiven on that cross. That is the peace that has connected you both to Christ and to the communion of saints. You receive the body and blood of Christ. You have the consolation of bearing one another's burdens and the hope of the resurrection. All the gifts that Christ has given us are yours. Peace be with you. The real effect of being ordained, being set apart in the person of Christ, is often the division. It's the cross. Because that peace will rest on some. Others will chase you out of town. And you have to wait for the day to reveal the word. The 72 came back. And the thing that they are most excited about is that even the demons are subject to us in your name. And maybe it's my malformed ear, but I can't help but hear a bit of sarcasm in Jesus' response. Yes, I saw Satan fall like lightning. You have to appreciate their joy and their excitement. And you might hope that the joy stays and renews itself in Christ continually. The villages of Galilee aren't Egypt or Babylon or Rome. Yes, those sent by Jesus in his stead have been given the authority to tread on serpents. But that's not the glory of the office. Because the glory is the same glory as that of the priesthood of all believers. Rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. Because today, we all labor under the cross. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. There's never enough time, and we ourselves are never strong enough. We are sent out as lambs amidst wolves. We all have enemies that wish us to fail. And the tools that we have, the Word, seems wholly inadequate to the task. Lord, why can't you give us a full money bag with that and everything that would make the journey better? But what we have is the Word. And because it is by hearing that faith comes, hearing that Word alone, and we're justified by faith alone. And those come to us by the grace of God alone. The grace of God who bore the cross. The grace of the one who pours out his Spirit upon us. The grace of one who answers prayers and sends laborers to proclaim peace. Grace of Christ who has written your name in heaven. No grace has been denied any of us, regardless of our call. Though schisms rent asunder by heresies distressed, we have that peace forevermore. Because the peace of Christ has rested on you. Amen.